Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be delving into the circular ecosystem printed electronics specialist Isle Aryan. We're going to be looking at their current crowdfunding round on CrowdCube. We're going to be looking at the reasons why they're raising funds at this point in time. And we're also going to be exploring the market opportunity and what they're seeking to do out there in the market. The company is a clean tech Startup of the Year finalist 2025. So we're going to be discussing what's earned them that accolade in this podcast. And to do that, I'm very kindly joined today by Dr. James Claypole, who is the founder of Isle Aryan. James, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Brilliant. It's great to be here, John.
So as I say, you're currently raising funds on CrowdCube at this point in time, and we're going to be discussing that round a little bit later on in the podcast. But before we get into it, I've given a very brief overview to the company, which I hope sets the scene. But please, could you give us an introduction, first of all, to yourself as well as Isle Aryan, please?
Yeah, so I guess we start with myself. I worked as a printed electronics researcher in Swansea University for 10 years before we came into doing this, before we founded this company. So we went through Innovate UK's iCure program to get where we are today. And the idea is that we try and create a more circular ecosystem for printed electronics, really addressing some of the big kind of global challenges around electronic waste.
Fantastic. Thank you. And a little bit about yourself, because I think that's quite an interesting story to set the scene as well, please, James.
Yeah, so I worked in the university for 10 years, mostly around sort of cutting edge printed electronics research and development, but also around scaling up printed electronics from very much lab scale into production. We've also worked on a number of projects, including biosensors. We've done some work in printed electronics for wearable tech that was used by Olympic athletes. So a whole bunch of different projects for different applications. But at the core of it, one of the big problems was always sustainability, and it became an increasingly important aspect of what we were looking at.
Thank you. So, of course, you've got a deep background in the sector, but what led you to launch Isle Aryan in the first place? What's the key problem that you're solving for your customers at this point in time?
So the story, the background is that doing this research, the last couple of projects we worked on, we were quite conscious of just how much material we were creating, how much waste we were creating. And it kind of led us to do a little bit more of a deep dive into what happens to that waste, all the electronic waste, printed electronics and conventional electronics. And when you realize that actually the existing recycling streams, if you can really call them that, are more akin to urban mining than actually recycling, where they destroy pretty much everything to extract tiny proportions of precious metals. For us, there's a global challenge of global vision, which is really about addressing the crisis that is electronic waste. So electronic waste being one of the fastest growing waste streams in the world, there are something in excess of 60 million tons of electronic waste generated last year, with less than 20% of that being recycled, which is pretty poor from the outset. But actually, when you dig a little bit deeper, you actually find out that printed electronics, for all the great benefits that it is, has a recycling rate of less than 1%, which is very poor, to put it bluntly. But that's the vision. That's the kind of why we do what we do. For our customers, there are kind of two main areas. One now is there's increasing legislation within the EU around compliance with sustainability regulations, things like extended producer responsibility, digital product passports, e-waste regulations in terms of disposal and things like that. And the other one is silver. So silver is used a lot in printed electronics, but it is increasing in price pretty much all the time. So in the last year, silver has gone up 50%. So these companies are seeing their costs basically spiral.
Fantastic. Thank you. So we've discussed that the problem for your customers there and what you're solving for them. But let's look now, James, if we may, at the business model. You know, what are you doing on the ground that's maybe different to what some of your competitors are doing?
So up till now, printed electronics companies, people working in printed electronics, the actual people doing the manufacture, and this kind of goes back to what our competitors are doing, really had a choice of two options. You either bought from a company that made metallic-based inks, which gave you a really high conductivity, the kind of electrical performance that you need for most applications, but they came with a huge environmental footprint. You then had a couple of smaller companies at the very opposite end of the spectrum making carbon-based inks. While carbon-based inks are more sustainable in terms of having a lower carbon footprint and potentially a lower cost, the electrical conductivity for all of them was awful. And there was no in between. You either had chose something that was sustainable or you chose something that was suitable to actually make things work. And yeah, this is what we do differently, is that we're able to produce an ink that has the same sort of conductivity as silver and other metallic based inks, but actually maintaining that sustainability. So it actually allows us to provide both function without costing the environment.
Thank you. So of course the end product here is a silver ink, but how do you get to that final product? And this is obviously really a question about your internal process and the processes that you have with your suppliers. What does that look like in terms of the processing you're doing, the sourcing of inputs into that process? What does that look like? I think that'd be something really interesting for investors.
Yeah, so there's a danger if I go way too heavily into the technology side of things, which is a little bit of a comfort for me. But basically, we start with a modified silver powder. So we work with a couple of companies that we use to actually do the production of that powdered material. So we use a modified silver rather than just silver. What we then do is we make that into a conductive ink by adding it to resins and environmentally friendly solvents to actually create that ink. That ink then we will sell to our customers to allow them to produce a product, be that biosensors, be that something to do with smart packaging. And then at the end of life, the aim then is to collect that, break down those polymers that are holding all those silvers in place. And because we modify that silver right at the very start of that process, we actually made the silver magnetic, which is something silver isn't naturally. This allows us then to separate out that silver at that end of life stage in a way that allows us to recover it and reuse it to make new conductive inks.
Who are typically your customers? And maybe if your customers aren't the end user of the ink, who are the end users?
Yeah, so the end users could be generally the people who actually sell the electronics are not the people producing it. There's often a manufacturer, so the people we're selling to are the people actually doing that manufacturing. For us, initially, in terms of our early adopting customers, they are very much people who are already using printed electronics or printing to produce electronics. This, for us, allows us the minimum barriers to entry because they already have printing as part of their production process, and our material then becomes a straight swap for what they're already using. Whereas longer term, then it's more like conventional electronics, but that will take some time as people adjust from the way PCB boards have been made in the past to a more sustainable additive process.
Thank you very much. So let's talk about the market now, James. What does that look like in terms of size? What are the market dynamics? What are the key drivers out there of the market? And also, what does the competition look like for your particular process and product?
So looking at the market, we kind of break that down to look at where our early adopting customers are. So this is the existing silver conductive ink market, which is valued at somewhere between around about $3 billion. It's a fairly sizable market in its own right anyway. That really is dominated by, there's a couple of big companies, but mostly large chemical companies, the kind of names that you might recognize, things like Henkel and Sun Chemical and DuPont. They're very much big names. What we do that they don't is that they don't really have a sustainable ink like this. None of these big companies have anything that's quite like what we do. It helps that we're based around a patented technology that allows us to maintain our IP and our USP in that space. So in terms of competition, they are, again, like we're saying, these are the existing ink makers, but again, they don't really produce an ink that's anything quite like what we do because we've got our proprietary technology around that. And the fact that we're using a silver that's been modified to be magnetic. There are a couple of other companies in a similar space as us. While not competition, it's an interesting parallel in the world that we're working in. Companies like Chiefer Materials, Intertek, and Pulpitronics are other startups in a similar kind of area. They're more like potential partners than competition.
Perfect. Just want to talk about your traction so far, and we're going to move on to discuss the crowdfunding round. One thing I would mention is the company has SEIS, which means that you're in the very early stages, and it does give potential investors very generous tax benefits if they decide to invest in the company. But I'd like to talk about where you are as a company at this point in time, James, in terms of your traction. Of course, you're talking about customers. I think it would be good for potential investors if you could give some sort of insight insight into where you are, you know, in terms of volumes that you're doing and maybe where you plan to be in the future as well.
Yeah, I think that this is a good point to talk about that. So in terms of traction, where we are, so at the moment we have a small, very much R&D lab type setup, and it allows us to produce up to about a batch of about a kilo of silver ink at a time. This again is really using the R&D equipment from really producing something that isn't designed for. The idea is then over the next 6 to 9 months is to actually scale that from our 500 grams kilo type batches that we're making at the moment up to being able to produce 10 kilo batches. This is the kind of quantity that's expected of our customers. This is what they want us to be able to demonstrate. We can produce that material at the kind of scales that they need to be able to use it. For us right now, we've got 4 essentially pilot projects that we are working on at various different stages of maturity. For us, it's all about integrating our material as part of their production process, showing that our material works in their product in the way that they're expecting. And then once we can demonstrate that it works, it then goes through a second stage of trials with them. They verify that they are happy with that and the price point and things like that, and they will become our first paying customers. Because we've got a very good technical team, it allows us to work with them on a very much consultancy-led sales basis, so we can actually really support them in integrating our material where maybe they would struggle previously if they don't have that R&D experience.
Fantastic. That's really interesting. It sounds like your model, you know, when you're talking about recycling, would I be correct in thinking that you're cutting out some of the stages, you know, in terms of processing and maybe smelting to get your product to the end user?
Yeah. So in terms of recycling, then in terms of cutting out stages, the recycling kind of fits an almost second part to this. So this is what we've talked about mostly is all about getting customers using the ink in the first place. That for us is our first challenge, for want of a better word. And the first thing that we're addressing is making sure that people are using our material. Then when it comes to recycling, the start of that revolves around working with these same customers that we're selling the ink to actually recover the material from failed prototypes, from development work, from print production waste, things like that. So there's quite a fair, potentially up to 20% of the material that goes into printed electronics goes back out again as waste. So we can potentially extract the silver from all of that manufacturing waste, allowing us to then take it back and put it back into new inks. The big advantage being that all of that high value silver that goes into that would normally be lost in that manufacturing waste is actually being kept in the system and allows us to further reduce the cost of our materials.
Fantastic. Thank you. So the crowdfunding round, James, as we said at the beginning, currently on Crowdcube at the moment. If anybody would like to find out more about the raise, do check out the description to this podcast and there'll be a link through to the crowdfunding page and you'll be able to get further information there. So the question is really, James, why are you raising funds at this point in time and how are you going to be deploying those funds?
Yeah, so the reason we're raising funds is there's capital equipment and there's some work that still needs to be done in terms of working with the customers we mentioned earlier, in terms of showing and demonstrating that we can not only produce the ink at the scale that we need to do, but also demonstrating that it fits and works in the products that we say that it will. We know it will because of the experience that we have, but it's demonstrating it very much in that each person's specific application that it's working for them. So that's really what we're using it for. It's really all about scaling what we're doing from the lab scale formulations and team and production capability that we have at the moment to that production ready, market ready scale that we need.
Fantastic. Thank you. So in terms of, you know, potential risks, and I'm sure this is something investors always want to know about, you know, what do you see as the main risks to your business model and what actions are you taking to mitigate these?
Yeah, so I guess that some of the biggest risks around the business model are, obvious one is the rising cost of silver. So silver's an interesting topic then because it becomes both a risk and an opportunity. So the more the cost of silver goes up, the more it affects the cost of our virgin material, our raw very first products, which makes them more expensive, but it makes every product more expensive. So while that's a risk, it's not too much of a problem. What it does is when it continues to increase, it brings up the value of that recycling process. So the more the cost of silver increases, the more valuable that recycling process becomes. And if it continues to increase, we'll just put greater emphasis on the recycling side of it.
Great. So looking forward, and now, you know, this is a question that you can't be expected to give an answer with any form of certainty in this stage of your life cycle, but it is something that is quite interesting to get your insights in terms of where you see the business going. Of course, you're raising funds at this point in time. Investors want to know what you're thinking could be a potential exit for the business, and if you've got any time frames in mind.
Okay, so we'll start with timeframes. Timeframes for exits in terms of companies like this are typically sort of probably about 2 to 3 years from where we are now. The typical type of exits that we've seen, so we've been working in this industry for many, many years now, and we've seen companies with novel technologies like ours go through exits. And normally what happens is the bigger companies that I mentioned earlier, things like Henkel and Sun Chemicals, these very large chemical companies, like us to demonstrate that our product works and that there is a demand and there is a fit, rather than take the risk. And then generally what happens is these small ink makers like ourselves are typically acquired by one of the bigger players, probably going back to that timescale in about a 2 to 3 year timescale once we've really shown that we have a competitive advantage over what they're doing.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you. Thank you very much, James. So to finish off now, anybody that's listening to this, James, where would you point them, and this could be potential customers or investors, where would you point them to find out more information about the company?
Yeah, so I guess investors in the short term, it's CrowdCube. There's a lot of information on there. But also we do quite a lot on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is quite popular for us. We actually share a lot of what we do and how we're progressing and where we're going in terms of the progress we're making is shared a lot on LinkedIn. For people who are potentially interested in working with us, be happy to talk to them if they're happy to reach out and actually just have a chat about what they're doing, what their needs are, and how we can actually show that our materials will work in their products.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, James. So just as a final note to listeners, do check out the description to this podcast and there'll be a link through to Old Arian's CrowdCube page. You'll be able to find more information there, download the pitch deck and direct any questions through to James and the team. So James, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Excellent. Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.